Hi, I'm Ali Hassan, host of CBC's Laugh Out Loud. Do you like to laugh? Because we're serving up big laughs each week. We feature comedians from across Canada. You might already be fans of some of them, and others might be new discoveries. We record emerging comedians and established pros in front of live audiences all across the country, and we promise that you'll be literally laughing out loud. You can find Laugh Out Loud on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland tries for a measure of optimism.
Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre is demanding answers.
Javier Milei has emerged as the new leader of Argentina following a runoff vote.
Because news.
With Gavin Crawford.
Oh, hello, everybody. I'm Gavin Crawford. Welcome to Because News, Canada's funniest news quiz. In Hall & Oates news, Daryl Hall has successfully taken out a restraining order against John Oates. It's true. Apparently, Hall had grown tired of constantly looking over his shoulder and thinking, whoa, here he comes. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll be making games out of the news. Let's welcome this week's panel. Canada just announced we're flying a new astronaut to the International Space Station, and our first panelist plans to stow away in his carry-on. Check your luggage for Jan Caruana.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars.
In the second seat, he is back on the panel after 72 hours as the CEO of OpenAI. It's visionary leader Cliff Cardinal.
Hey, Canada. Hi, Canada. Hi, TikTok.
And finally, she just flew back from the Montreal Alouettes victory parade, and boy, are her bras fatigué. It's the vaguely bilingual Fiona O'Brien.
Hello, Canada. How are you?
All right, panel, are you sitting comfortably?
Yes.
Yes.
Then let's go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Panel, in international news, a surprising candidate pulled off a sweeping victory this past weekend. The man whose nickname is El Loco won a presidential election. Which country just resoundingly elected El Loco?
Sounds Swedish to me.
Wow, and it's not America. I would have thought America.
Their election isn't for another year.
Yeah, yes.
Gav, may I answer this in the form of a song?
Sure.
Please vote for me, Argentina.
Beautiful.
Is it Argentina?
It is indeed Argentina. I can't wait for the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical about this guy. The Guardian newspaper writes, who is Javier Milei, Argentina's new far-right president, El Loco, takes the stage. Yes, his nickname is El Loco, or the Madman. Javier Milei swept to power this weekend in a runoff election, according to The Guardian. Why do people call him El Loco?
Because he's cuckoo for democracy.
Good guess, no. Fiona?
Because he looks loco.
He does look a little... Have you seen a picture of him?
Oh, yeah. He's like a 70s porn star.
Yeah, very wild, crazy hair.
Yeah.
But that's not the main reason. Cliff, any ideas?
Oh, his passionate speeches.
Kind of. You're in the ballpark, because during his passionate speeches, he swears a lot.
All right.
I like him already.
And often during the campaign, he likes to wave a chainsaw around.
Yeah.
Why does he wave a chainsaw?
Because he's a South American dictator.
Because he's looking to slash the deficit?
That is correct for the point.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a slightly more madcap version of Axe the Tax, I guess. Yes, Milei has said he wants to take a chainsaw to the state.
Wow.
The Telegraph put it this way, chainsaw-waving sex guru Javier El Loco Milei could rescue Argentina. Before becoming an economist and a TV pundit, Milei was also a tantric sex coach for a while. And also, he was the frontman for a cover band. Can you guess what band Javier Milei was famous for impersonating?
Can I answer in the form of a song? Because I'm living la vida loca.
He was not a Ricky Martin impressionist, but that was a very good guess.
I'm going to say he looks like one of the Bee Gees. The Bee Gees?
If he was a tantric sex coach, Sting? Because Sting is into tantric, no?
It would make sense. It was, in fact, the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah.
He was the Mick Jagger. And he tends to dance around like Mick Jagger on stage. The Economist reported that he will be the first libertarian president of Argentina. Why are analysts saying this small government slasher won the presidency?
Oh, I'm thinking they must have been just desperate for a candidate and just went for him.
Fiona gets the point on that one. They are basically desperate for change. Argentina is experiencing the worst economic crisis in decades, and the people have had it with the corruption. While Canada's inflation rate is currently at 3.1%, can you tell me, what do you think Argentina's current inflation rate is?
140%.
You're correct.
No way.
Jan gets the point on that joke guess. It is currently over 140%.
I'm going to buy a lottery ticket tonight.
Yes.
In an effort to boost the economy, Milei has a number of ideas. One of them includes this. He said he wants Argentina to legalize the sale of something. What does he want Argentina to legalize the sale of?
Human beings.
Any other guesses?
Organs.
You are correct. Yeah. Cliff is also correct. Yes, he has said he wants to legalize the sale of human organs.
Yeah. Wow. Mm.
Like how much for a kidney?
I don't know.
Like, I'll sell a kidney to him.
You don't need to.
Let's talk numbers.
And a lump of my liver. I'll throw that in.
Oh, yeah, that regenerates.
We'll make your pitch. Please buy my spleen, Argentina. The truth is I don't really need it. He also has said he wants to replace the Argentine peso with the U.S. dollar to dollarize their economy and plans to very, very sharply cut welfare.
Well, he has that chainsaw.
That's what it's there for. According to Time magazine, Milei takes policy advice from four key advisors. What is special about these four advisors?
They're CIA operatives.
Fiona?
They're ghosts.
Jen?
The Beatles.
So half ghosts.
Yes. Why say
I did
oh,
not kill the Beatles? The correct answer, they are dogs.
Oh my gosh. Are they alive?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, he likes dogs, so I like him now.
Yes, he does like dogs. After winning the election, the first people he thanked were his four cloned bull mastiffs.
Cloned.
Who are named after famous economists. Milei has said they give him the best counsel.
Wow, well, does he go like, hey, how do you think I should treat poor people? And they're like, rough.
I mean, do you think we could ever see a politician like that leading Canada if we get that hungry for change?
I think we're about to. Yeah.
Well, we've got El Liar. Why not El Loco?
Because news.
Canada's news quiz.
On the panel today, Jan Caruana, Fiona O'Brien, and Cliff Cardinal. Cliff just won the Governor General's Award for his play, The Land Acknowledgement, or As You Like It. Congratulations.
Thanks, Kevin.
This week, the World Health Organization alerted people to a new global health epidemic. But just what is gnawing away at our collective well-being? To get to the bottom of it, please welcome our resident news troll, Kevin, with a riddle. Come on up, Kevin.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. I live under a bridge, and I live alone. I ain't got no friends, what I call me own. My wife hit the road with some Joe passing by. It's bad for my health to be... What am I?
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin the news troll. For the point panel, poor Kevin is part of what health epidemic?
Boring man epidemic.
It sounds like he has emphysema.
He lives under a bridge alone and has no friends to call his own.
He's a gamer.
An epidemic of gaming.
Yeah.
Is he lonely, Gavin?
He sure is, Jan. For the point, Jan Caruana. The headline from Global News reads, "Loneliness is now a global public health concern," says World Health Organization.
Wow.
How unhealthy is loneliness, though, panel? The WHO claims the risks associated with loneliness are as dangerous as what?
Wearing meat pants in Churchill, Manitoba. Oh my
God. That's pretty dangerous. Yeah.
Well, it depends who your friends are. My friends are all indigenous. We're pretty dangerous.
As dangerous as what, Fiona?
Heart disease?
They say it is as dangerous as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Oh, see, now this is tough because when I was in high school, a lot of people made friends by smoking.
Yeah, yeah,
so pick your poison.
Yeah.
According to Harvard research, there are three main types of loneliness. Psychological and societal are two of them. What is the third type of loneliness?
Economic loneliness? I don't know.
I love your brain. What is economic loneliness? Please describe to me what you think economic loneliness is.
So you can't go out and socialize.
Oh, now it makes sense to me.
Fiona, do you know that poor people socialize?
Yeah, well, you know, they're not going down the pub. They're probably outside the pub.
Yeah, we are.
Lonely. Smoking 30 cigarettes, right?
The third type of loneliness, existential loneliness.
Oh, that's ruined my night.
That's the big one, when you feel like life has no meaning. One researcher told CBC, the effects of loneliness are so severe, it should be monitored as closely as something else. As closely as what?
TikTok.
It should be monitored as closely as any patient of Meredith Grey's post-op after she thinks she's done a great surgery, because let me tell you, she didn't. I've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy, and let me tell you, I've never been lonelier in my life.
You're not far off. Fiona, they think loneliness should be monitored as closely as what?
I'm going to say heart disease again.
You would be correct.
Am I right?
Yes, they say it should be added to the vital signs.
So does your doctor just ask you if you're lonely?
But then can you hang out with your doctor?
Yeah. I mean, listen,
I got a lot of problems.
They say that your physician should be, when they're checking over your body temperature and other vital signs, should be, you know, asking you, are you socially connected, and pointing you to things like libraries or activities where you can meet people, and just checking in to make sure people aren't isolated.
I actually think this is a great idea, because after you leave school, it is so much harder to make friends. Like, as an adult person, like, you don't go up to someone on the street necessarily and say, hey, that's a peppermint latte. That's my favorite, too. Do you want to come back to my house? Because in my basement, there's a pool table. Like,
it is. There's a thing. People generally make most of their friends in situation of forced proximity.
Yeah, like work, school, jail.
Basically anywhere where you see sort of the same people on a regular basis, then you end up feeling more socially connected. But when you're out of a situation of forced proximity, it could be a lot harder.
Is anyone here lonely? Oh, good. I'm so glad. We're fine. That's other people's problems.
Yeah.
Research has found that one way to combat loneliness is to go for walks. Walking is especially good for loneliness in men. Why?
Oh, because they can connect with other men over watching people parallel park and discussing how they would do it different.
We're hunter-gatherer people. We're used to going on long walks in silence and killing things.
Is this not what George Michael got in trouble for?
No, he got in trouble for stopping on the walks.
And he was wronged.
True.
George Michael was wronged.
I agree. The reason why they say it's good for men to go for walks together is because men find it easier to connect and speak openly when they're side by side and not facing each other.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's why we're friends.
Exactly. Cliff and I can talk openly now because we're facing the audience.
Yeah.
The BBC gave three other examples of male side-by-side bonding experiences. What examples do you think they gave?
Rollerblading.
What about, like, work cubicles?
It's much simpler than those. They say sitting at the bar.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not at a table, but at the bar.
Yeah.
Right.
Going to a football match.
Yes.
Because you're watching the game.
Side by side.
And Were you just agreeing?
No, it just occurred to me why urinals are against the wall.
Yeah. So we can talk to each other. That's why. You're not going to say anything personal if you're face-to-face peeing. That's just awkward.
Hey, can you take a look at this?
Actually, there's some sports place that has like a circular one that if you go up to it and then some guy can come up to the other side and you're just eye to eye. And you're like, well, I can't go now. Can you? And they're like, nope, I can't go either.
Do you want to be friends?
Yeah. Then let's go for a walk and pee outside. They say at the bar, at the football ground, or fishing at a river. According to a recent survey from BC's Simon Fraser University panel, can you guess which group of Canadians tend to be the loneliest?
I'm going to say people in urban centers, like people who live in Toronto.
It is young adults 19 to 29.
Oh, those are prime friendship years. Is it because of TikTok?
Yes, it actually is. They say social media makes that generation a lot lonelier. Recent headline from Forbes says, are you suffering from social media-induced loneliness?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense because you feel like when you're scrolling TikTok or whatever, you're kind of like, I'm feeling connected to people. And you've kind of developed these parasocial relationships, but no actual meatbag relationships.
I mean, well, Fiona, you have a daughter in that age category who's away at university. Do you think she's lonely? Are you lonely without her?
Yeah, my daughter went to university and I miss her a lot. But I discovered an amazing way to keep in touch with her. And we have an Alexa at home. I have one in the kitchen. And then she had one in her bedroom and my boys have one in their bedroom. And that's how I called them for dinner. I would do an Alexa announcement and then they could, and then they come down for the dinner. But I thought that the Alexa announcements only worked in our house with the Wi-Fi when we were all together. And when she was moving away to university, I said to her, why don't you bring your Alexa from your room, have it in the dorm at university, use it as a speaker, listen to music. And she's in Halifax and I'm here. And one of my other children said to me, I wonder if the announcements work all the way over to Halifax. And I said, no, it only works in the house. And as luck would have it, I am able to make live announcements into my daughter's dorm room in university. Thousands of I feel like God. It's amazing.
Well, you did it. You made a TikTok of that. So we actually have a clip of you doing that to your daughter. Have a listen to this.
Alexa, make an announcement.
What's the announcement?
Are you asleep? Are you asleep yet?
Announcing. Are you asleep? Are you asleep yet?
She's 2 hours ahead, so she might be asleep.
I did not see that
That's
coming.
That's my baby. That's my girl.
God bless her.
Because news.
Hi, I'm Jessie Cruikshank.
Jessie Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
Panel, it's time to turn to Parliament Hill. Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland had a bit of a moment this week when she got a standing ovation in the House of Commons when she said something that seemed to resonate with a lot of people. Have a listen to this clip.
Compared to before the pandemic, I am so glad to be able to say...
For the point, how did Deputy PM and Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland finish that sentence? Compared to before the pandemic, I am so glad to be able to say what?
That we are now allowed to lick our fingers in the stores to open plastic bags.
So glad to be able to say we can lick our fingers again.
Clint. Yeah, she gave a 40-minute rendition of The Aristocrats.
Here's what she actually said.
Compared to before the pandemic, I am so glad to be able to say that over a million more Canadians are employed today.
For a further point, why was Freeland talking up the employment figures in the House of Commons this week?
Because she said she'd keep an ear open for a friend who may be looking for a change.
Any other guesses?
You'll get it. You'll get it.
Wasn't it the economic statement?
The CBC headline reads, Canada's debt charges are ballooning as Freeland tables a gloomy fall economic statement. The government has described it as fiscally restrained. But this week's update still features billions in new spending. Does anyone know where that money is going?
Affordable housing, is it?
You are correct. For the point, $15 billion in loans for rental housing spread over 5 years, and $1 billion more over 3 years for affordable housing.
Don't worry, that's not coming to Toronto.
The Conservative Party was critical of the update, specifically the fact that the government now spends close to the same amount on interest to serve its national debt as it does on what other thing?
Healthcare?
You are correct.
I was about to say groceries.
Also correct. Canada pays $46 billion on interest charges compared to $51 billion on health transfer payments to the provinces. Wow. The former leader of the NDP, Thomas Mulcair, used a very tired Canadian metaphor to describe the government's financial update in a column he wrote for CTV News. Can you guess which cliched metaphor he used?
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
It's shutting the barn door after the horse is bolted.
Just gonna sneak this past you.
All good guesses. The CTV headline reads, as Trudeau's frontline struggles to move the puck up the ice, Freeland's fiscal update is a penalty shot.
Oh, boy. Canadian, yeah. So we only get hockey.
Yeah, now I get yeah. The economy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm an economist now.
Yeah. Mulcair's point is that Trudeau's Liberals are being outplayed by the Conservatives. Do you think they are?
Yeah, I think that people are kind of tired and they want to change. And I think like the Conservatives are capitalizing on that.
I agree with whatever Jan says.
I'm an economist now because I understand hockey yes. metaphors.
Well, I'm a bull mastiff named after an economist.
And I think they need to bring a chainsaw into this, right?
There was one thing aimed at kids in the economic update. What are kids under 14 years old going to get from Ottawa?
4-day work week.
I'm going to say their parents' mortgages. Yeah. Now, I saw this is about sitting on flights with your parents, isn't it?
Yes. The government is not going to allow airlines to charge for seat selection for kids under 14. I mean, does it make, you have three kids.
Yeah.
Would that make a big difference for you flying?
I like to not sit with my kids.
And see, I like to sit with other people's kids.
Wow.
And I like people like you.
So, win-win.
This is Because News. We've got Jan Caruana, Fiona O'Brien, and Cliff Cardinal. Follow Because News on TikTok to find out what they look like with the bold glamour filter. All right, panel, it's time for this week's news clue. This week's clue comes in the form of a 1930s radio drama. Have a listen and try to figure out the headline behind it. This week on Theatre of the Mind.
Say, who's this now?
Silly, say hello to Jimmy the Fish.
He looks like a cop.
Oh, he's a cop, all right. And he's going to lead us right to the place where all the other cops are hiding.
Ah, so this one's on our side. I guess not all cops are bad after all.
This cop doesn't have much of a choice, seeing as how I got photos of him spawning with a silver beauty that definitely ain't his wife.
Well, this better work. Otherwise, this whole neighborhood's going to be crawling with cops. And we ain't going to be able to do nothing about it.
Open wide, Jimmy. It's time to take your medicine.
All right, panel, there's your news clue. Can you guess the story from this week's headlines that found Jimmy the Fish in a sticky situation.
I think he just got caught up in something.
Fiona?
I'm going to say that the mafia are selling fish.
It's Al Carpone.
He sleeps with the fishes.
The CBS News headline reads, "Do snitches net fishes? Scientists turn invasive carp into traders to slow their Great Lakes push."
Oh, yeah. Carps. Think, yes,
invasive carps again in my life. My son just did a whole project, a 20-slide presentation on invasive carps.
That's why they call them invasive.
I've been invaded twice now by carps.
The invasive carps were imported from Asia decades ago to help with aquaculture farms in the southern United States, but they escaped and now they're headed up the Mississippi towards the Great Lakes.
Oh, wow. It's like, oh, brother, where art thou?
They're coming.
Why is this so bad?
They're taking jobs that Canadian fish could have.
Fiona?
They are eating the other species and destroying the ecosystem.
Thanks to your son, you're correct for the point.
Yes.
Asian carp are large fish with an even larger appetite. They take over and destroy ecosystems. Now wildlife officials are selecting certain carps and turning them into turncoats. How exactly are wildlife officials turning these carps into double agents?
Virtue signaling.
They're being brought to a secret volcano and undergoing strict military operations and then being sent out as assassins.
They make them wear a wire.
Jan is correct for the point. They capture them, implant transmitters, and then toss them back.
I'd be able to tell. Every fish in here ate a bug.
They track the carp to wherever they clump in schools in the spring and fall, and then they try to net them all. These invasive fish eat up to 40% of their body weight every day. According to the Invasive Species Center, how many Asian carps would it take to devastate the Great Lakes?
100. One to devastate the Great Lakes and 99 to talk about it.
I think you'd have to start with 2.
I'm going to go with 5 million.
To devastate the Great Lakes, it would take 10 mature females and 10 or fewer males.
Wow. Oof. Notice how they said mature females. Yeah. The teen carps would just make all the other fish feel bad about themselves.
Oh my God, Becky, what are you even doing in this Great Lake?
I don't know. If that were me, if I was that fish, I would be devastated.
The Smithsonian Magazine wrote an article with the headline, 7 Wild Ways Scientists Are Trying to Stop Invasive Carp. In addition to turning them into traitors, what other odd strategies have officials tried?
Assimilation. It worked great last time.
I'm going to go grouper therapy. Come on. I have to get a point for that, Gavin.
Yeah,
come on.
Come on. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I have my trouts about that answer.
I'm not scaling the back. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm not letting you off the hook.
I have a bone to pick with you later.
Okay, I'm not finished.
All right. Jen, what other ways are they using to get rid of these carps?
By blasting Aerosmith. Like they blast Aerosmith or some loud music into the water, so all the fish go, not for me, and they swim away.
You are correct for the point.
Come on! I'm making joke answers and they keep being right!
They herd the carp into nets using underwater speakers.
I go crazy.
I love in an elevator.
They don't specify which song they play to drive the carps into the nets. They've also tried electric barriers and walls of bubbles.
Oh, that just sounds fun.
Yeah. I like that.
It sounds like Ibiza.
Another wild way, they say, put them on the menu. Ooh. In an effort to get more people eating the Asian carp, the state of Illinois recently did something to make the fish more palatable. What did the state do?
They rebranded them.
Oh! Yes, sorry. They changed the name. The headline from Food and Wine magazine reads, "What is Kopi? A new name for an invasive fish." Yes, last year, the state of Illinois created a campaign to rebrand the Asian carp as Kopi. Why did they go with Kopi?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, in the morning, you wake up, you want to have a Kopi and a snack.
Is it because the slogan was co-pee or co-home?
It is because they are copious.
Oh, clever.
There is a copious amount of them. Here's a clip from the Copy promo.
I love this name because it's fun and light, which is exactly how this fish tastes. It's also short and easy to say, and it combines well with names of dishes. Copy burgers, Copy sliders, Copy fajitas, Copy tacos.
Mm-mm. That guy loves Copy. Yeah. This fish tastes fun. Like, I could see, like, you're on a holiday in Mexico with your gal pals. And it's like, this, give me something fun to eat.
Yeah. Oh, try Copy. It's funner than Aunt Debbie.
and she's fun. She wears wild tees.
Yeah. And she's like, oh.
You know what's fun? Choking on a bone.
That's Aunt Debbie for you. So many levels. Panel, we have somehow reached the end of another exciting Because News. Who will our champion be this week? Why, it is Jen Caruana. Congratulations, Jen. You have the honor of reading our credits. I'm Gavin Crawford. A third of Canadian drivers are less likely to buy winter tires this year due to the cost of living. Well, if you think the cost of living is high, wait until you discover the cost of not getting winter tires. We will see you next week. Why?
Because
give it up for Jen Caruana, Fiona O'Brien, and Cliff Cardinal.
Hey Canada, this is Jan Caruana, winner of Because News. Congratulations to my runners-up, Cliff Cardinal and Fiona O'Brien. Because News is written and produced by Elizabeth Bowie, David Carroll, Gavin Crawford, Phil Lung, and Jess Klimowski. This week, they had help from Miguel Rivas and Jacob Duarte. Rounding out the team, Aaron Conway, Bronwyn Page, Errol Gonzalez, and our recording engineer, Paul Hodge.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.